go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Everybody, welcome to Car Stuff. I'm Scott Benjamin.
And I'm Ben Boland.
Ben, today we're going to talk about exhaust systems.
Yes.
And honestly, you know, I wasn't terribly excited about this topic when we first started kind of hatching it out, but I don't know. We've got a couple things we're going to add in here that I think will kind of pick it up a little bit. I mean, there's not a whole lot to a basic exhaust system, really.
Right.
But we do have kind of a twist on this at the end that we want to kind of throw in there, that there's some new technology out there that may be pretty interesting for a lot of folks.
Yes, and it could be a game changer in the future.
Could be. So let's talk about just the basic exhaust system first. And we're not going to get into emissions and, you know, all the I guess the very extreme particulars of exhaust gases in themselves, but more or less just what an exhaust system really is, because it's really, really simple when you boil it down, right?
Yeah. So you've jacked your car up. You're in the mechanics. You've jacked your car up on the lift, and you're looking at the undercarriage, and you say, man, that's a lot of pipes.
It sure is. Yeah, it's, I mean, it could be like a 10 or 12-foot long section of pipes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one pipe maybe that goes all the way across, or it could be a couple of pipes that are connected with a Y pipe or
right.
an X pipe, and you know, there's a lot of different chambers that are involved, and maybe even some wiring.
Yes.
That's under there. So there's quite a bit going. I mean, it looks like a lot. Really, I mean, can I just break this down to the most simple
yes.
explanation of what an exhaust system does?
This, yeah.
Just getting the exhaust gases to the back end of the car is what it does. It's just a pipe system to get all that foul crap
mm-hmm.
that comes out of your engine
mm-hmm.
to the back end of the car, away from you, away from the engine, away from the passenger compartment, so that you know, you're not breathing this stuff in all the time as you got your vehicle turned on.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it's most basic, just to get the gases away from you
safely.
Safely,
and this can be very simple, despite how complicated it may look. If mm-hmm. you're in this hypothetical garage, looking up, and you see the balance pipes, the Y pipes, the X pipes, as we've named, there are numerous pipes. But the reason this looks like it's more complicated than it is because most cars have their engine in the front of the vehicle.
Correct, yeah.
And
there's a lot of space to cover.
Mm-hmm. And there's one key part here that I want to talk about, which is the muffler.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are at all familiar with cars, you know that they can be kind of loud,
mm-hmm.
right?
Sure.
And
Some can be.
And before the advent of the muffler, cars could be even louder.
Yeah, because really they just had a pipe that came right off the engine that was bolted, you know, to the exhaust header,
mm-hmm.
Which comes right off of the engine. Really, it was just unmuffled sound all the way to the back of the car. And muffler, I mean, think about the word muffler.
Right,
what's
right.
it doing? It's muffling sound, right?
That is not a trick question.
No, it's not. It's just all about sound waves.
So it works by the exhaust passes through a series of chambers, so they could have a number of things in them. They could have some synthetic fiber, wool, rock of some sort.
Yeah, they're packed.
They're packed, yeah. Kind of like the way that an oil filter is packed.
Exactly.
And this is all there to sort of control the noise. Now, muffler has to be a tougher part of a car because it needs to sort of take beating at times.
That's true, yeah. And you know what? There's a lot of different parts of it. I mean, there's perforated
yeah.
pipes, and there's resonation chambers.
Mm-hmm.
There's stuff going on inside that exhaust system. If you've never seen one cut open, really go stop by an exhaust system store, a place that
yeah.
sells aftermarket exhaust. Or even a dealership sometimes will have this, but there's a lot going on inside of a muffler.
Yeah, and you can check out our article, which also has some nifty pictures.
Oh, it does. Okay,
yeah.
Good.
But those cutaways are worth it, and they really illustrate what we're talking about here. Now, Scott, as you said earlier, we don't want to drill down too far into the science behind emissions, right?
Yeah.
The catalytic converters, because we do have podcasts on those that
yeah.
people can check out.
I think we've already covered that pretty
mm-hmm.
well.
Yeah, so we just want to let you know there is a catalytic converter in your car.
Yeah, there's one there. And, you know, I mean, if you want to just kind of simply go from the front end of the vehicle to the back end of the vehicle, you got the engine.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you wanted to do
I was just going to say it's a great idea.
Okay, good.
So, engine.
We agree.
We agree.
Yeah, there's the engine, which is actually producing all this, you know, it's the byproduct of combustion, really.
Right.
Within your engine.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got, right from the engine, you've got the exhaust header, which is really just a series of like maybe however many exhaust ports your vehicle has, probably four or eight,
right?
Which you know are then funneled down into one or two, or you know, various numbers of pipes that can be. You know, the numbers of pipes actually funnel themselves down into a single pipe.
Yes,
which eventually connects to a smaller pipe, which there's usually an O2 sensor in mm-hmm. newer vehicles. Mm-hmm. That's where the electric part comes in. So you've got an O2 sensor, which, again, is part of emissions, really. It feeds information back to the controller of your vehicle, and it tells it whether your vehicle's running lean or if it's running rich, and kind of adjusts the fuel mixture that way.
Mm-hmm.
Older vehicles don't have something like this, and older vehicles don't have catalytic converters either, which is the next part of our exhaust system. And, you know, I do want to mention just one quick thing about it, catalytic converters. Not getting into too deep, but they have kind of like this honeycomb filter.
Uh-huh.
Just sort of giving them a brief description of this,
sure.
I guess.
Sure.
Honeycomb, like a mesh area that mm-hmm. the exhaust gases go through, it filters out all the bad stuff, really.
Right.
Or most of the bad stuff, anyways. There could be like it could be a ceramic core, it could be metal core,
mm-hmm. Platinum.
Yeah, platinum. Oh yeah, platinum. That's a good one because people have been actually stealing catalytic converters because of the platinum content, and sometimes you know just the metal content. You know, it depends mm-hmm. on what's in there. It could be copper in some cases. Not here in the United States, I don't think, because that produces another type of gas that is somehow bad.
Right.
Here in the United States, but not elsewhere. Right. Okay.
Yes.
So, thank you, EPA. So the nickel, it could be nickel, it could be titanium, it could
rhodium.
Be iron, aluminum. It could be it's just a myriad of materials that could be packed inside the catalytic converter. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's different types of catalytic converters too.
Yes.
Diesel vehicles have something called a particulate filter, which filters out soot. And I was kind of digging around a little bit about this, and I don't want to go too deep into this, but
okay.
I thought this is cool to add because it's just kind of a neat little fact, I guess, is that these diesel particulate filters, they fill up with soot, as you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you think, well, there's got to be a point where you've got to stop, empty this thing out. It's kind of like a water filter or something
sure.
where you've got to filter, you know, drain it.
Good comparison.
But the thing is, these diesel particulate filters, they're part of the sealed exhaust system. And the way that they empty themselves out, and it's done kind of like through the system that determines when it's about, let's say, 75-85% blocked.
Okay.
It has sensors that understand when there's a certain blockage percentage, okay. and then it decides it's time for me to clean myself out. So that's what it does. It cleans itself out. You have to be driving at certain – there have to be certain conditions met. Like you have to be driving at a certain speed for certain time, certain, mm-hmm. you know – everything has to be just right.
And then it hits that threshold.
It does.
And then
it sends this flame wall through the filter. And this can take a long time. It can take a long time to burn the stuff off, but it burns it at such a – now, imagine the temperature that it takes to burn soot. So you've already got a kind of a burned byproduct.
Right.
You're trying to burn that byproduct.
You're essentially incinerating it.
You are, yeah. And you know what the temperatures are, Ben, of these
what?
Things? Diesel particulate filters. You don't want to be around one of these things when it fires up, I'll tell you that. And the good thing is that it happens usually when you're driving. You can force this, if you're like at a dealership, you can force it to happen with diagnostic tools. But,
yeah.
you know, again, there's a lot of restrictions on these. I remember, you know, doing some technical service stuff with this, that you had to take the vehicle outside and there had to be certain distances from, you know, dry grass and fields and buildings and things and other vehicles you had to be to start this. 600 degrees Celsius.
Celsius.
Celsius. So that
Whoa.
Fahrenheit, for us Fahrenheit people, because I am,
right.
about 1,100 degrees. So your exhaust system is suddenly cooking itself at 1,100 degrees. That's far, far above any exhaust system temperature that you know you would see on the road.
That's toasty.
That is very toasty. So, honestly, that's about all I wanted to mention. That's called regeneration.
Well, I wanted to also, while we're on diesel engines, point out something. I'm going to call this in defense of diesel engines.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, not all the time, maybe even not as much nowadays, but often diesel engines get a bad rep
mm-hmm.
when it comes to emissions. And I just want to note that I don't think it's entirely deserved. So
I agree.
I
agree because there are clean diesels now that burn
right.
cleaner than cars that burn gasoline.
So that's our defense of diesel engines. we still have a couple more parts of the exhaust system.
Just a couple. And, you know, I mean, it's just the muffler, really, that we talked about with its series of perforated pipes and chambers and packing and different materials. And really, that's, you know, the muffling system. We talked about sound waves.
Yeah.
That's really, in most cases, it's just canceling out sound waves is what you're trying to do. You're
right.
You're trying to minimize the sound, you know, that loud raw sound that's coming out of the engine. In most cases, now some cases you're trying to amplify that sound in some way that you know is preferable to the type of vehicle you have. You know, you may have an old muscle car that you want to have a deep throaty sound, so you want a specific type of muffler for that. You may have a an import vehicle that you know you may want it to sound like an angry hornet's nest and you know or a chainsaw, and you know that. That sound can be made through the choice of muffler that you have. Then, really, after the muffler, you've got in some cases you have a resonator,
yes.
Which in some cases is also handled through the muffler. So, motorcycles have resonators, and that's typically the raspy sound that you hear on a lot of motorcycles, newer motorcycles. Some vehicles have resonators. I had an old MG that had a resonator as well, including a muffler. And then really have the tailpipe, and that's about it. That's as simple as it gets.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you wanted to mention something about aftermarket stuff.
Yes, I want to mention there are some other parts that can go into this system. If you're fixing up your car, you can get aftermarket performance parts that can kick it up a little.
Yeah, true.
Give it a boost.
Kick it up a notch.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Take it to the next level.
Who's that guy? Emeril?
I don't know.
Oh, there's a chef.
Yep.
Is this kid?
Bam!
That's it. Yeah.
Is that the guy?
Yeah, that's it. That's the guy.
All right.
Sorry.
Glad we got that figured out.
Also, I'm glad we nailed that. Also, we have to plug our article, How Mufflers Work, which has an excellent explanation of the way that a muffler cancels out sound.
Oh, very good. That makes sense. You know, that's probably the best thing to do is to go there and to read about it, because for us to try to describe this in these last few minutes that we've got here, it just won't work out. Hey, you know, there's one other quick thing that I need to mention here. Now, you actually two or three. that's always the case, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, darn it. So, anyways, you mentioned aftermarket. You know, a lot of times you'll see people with, you know, real fancy exhaust systems that are chromed out, and, you know, they've got huge exhaust tips, like 4-inch exhaust tips.
Mm.
A lot of times, well, actually, I'm going to tell you every time, that 4-inch exhaust tip that you see, that's just the tip. That's just where it's just the last few inches of the exhaust system. Mm-hmm. If you had a 4-inch pipe coming all the way from your engine would be lugging so badly. You would have zero back pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all part of this is back pressure. There's a lot really to the exhaust system and what it does for your engine, for your vehicle and performance. And, you know, there's a point where there's too much back pressure. There's a point where there's not enough back pressure. And if you have a giant exhaust system, which, again, not always the best case. So you need to talk to somebody who's well versed in exhaust systems to tell you what size, you know, what diameter pipe you need in every position of your vehicle. Like starting from the engine all the way to the back,
right.
They know exactly what it should be. You can kind of play around with that a little bit for performance, but you know, there's a point where you know, it's just not worth it. You get no return from having an extra wide pipe. Sometimes you hurt your performance.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times that's just for looks, as you can imagine. And so is the fancier systems that have unique sounds. A lot of times those aren't really for performance.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that, but we do have to draw that distinction. There is a difference between a performance part and something that's a little more cosmetic. So be aware, and you know what? Beware of those parts that are, you know, clip on or screw on.
Yeah.
If you want them just because you think it makes your vehicle look better, more power to you.
And on a more practical note, you can also kind of read your exhaust. Read exhaust gases, I should say.
Oh, good. I'm glad you mentioned this.
And this is just real simple. I mean, and I don't want to get too deep into this either, but, you know, if you see blue smoke out the back of your vehicle, that means you're burning oil.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you see black smoke, it means there's probably a carbon buildup in your engine.
Mm-hmm.
Ben, I've got a question for you. What do you think white smoke means? What do you think when you see white smoke?
Well, in the Vatican, it means that they've successfully selected the next pope.
Very good. Are you reading my notes?
It's true. It's the council.
I was going to. Oh, man, you totally stole my punchline.
Are you serious?
Yeah, that's all right, though.
Did I really?
No, don't worry about it. That's funny. I can't believe you got it. I should have maybe more casually set it up, I guess.
Anyway, it's the Pope Mobile episode.
Darn it.
I'm sorry, man.
New Pope elected. That's it. So, actually, it means you're burned in antifreeze. So, it probably got a head gasket issue.
Uh-huh.
And that's really serious. So, if you see white smoke coming out of the back of your car, I mean a lot of it, pull over quickly, shut the car down, don't run it again. Just get help. You know, either do it yourself or have a mechanic take a look at it. But that's a serious, serious issue. And I've seen cars that are just, you know, billowing white smoke out the back end. And, and there's a big, and you could smell it too. You can smell.
Yeah, it has a very distinct smell.
Yeah, very sweet smell to it.
One more thing though.
Sure.
Before we close up.
Yeah.
Is that cool?
Yeah, that's fine.
Let's go to the future, Scott. We've been talking about the basic nuts and bolts of the muffler, the exhaust system.
Yes.
We did the catalytic converter, but now we're going to take it somewhere cool. We talked about this off the air.
Mm-hmm.
So let's not pretend like it's the first time you've heard of it.
Oh, no, no.
What would you say if I told you it was possible to get a little bit more of a use out of a tailpipe system?
A more use out of one?
Well, what if we could make it reduce CO2?
Yes. And there's definitely a way to do this, but it's in the development phase right now.
Yeah, this is right now, this is a good research idea. We've got an excellent article from our good buddy Josh Clark. Can we make tailpipes that capture CO2, as we're saying?
Oh, very interesting idea.
It's an interesting idea. It's not completely thought out yet, not completely developed.
Yeah.
It's right now it's a research project. So here's the shtick, here's the pitch. So we know that carbon dioxide can be a heck of a pollutant, for lack of a better phrase. So if we're dependent on these vehicles, but we're concerned about the carbon dioxide emissions, then why don't we just build a tailpipe that can capture the CO2 before it even gets out of the car?
Well, this is like a second. It's like, so you go through the catalytic converter, which filters out other types of gases.
Right.
CO2 is what remains and comes through. Now you're saying there's a system to capture that remaining bit of pollution?
Yes. Some folks at Georgia Tech have come up with a material called hyperbranched aminosilica.
Cool.
HAS for the cool kids.
HAS, okay.
All right. So we just wanted to mention this, something to keep your eye out for. Perhaps in your next vehicle, you will have drastically reduced CO2 emissions because of this nifty little discovery, but not just in cars.
Yeah, that's right. And actually, the focus of this entire study is really on, sources of larger emissions, sources of enormous amounts of CO2, and that would be power factories, things like that. You know, factories that emit these all day long from those giant smokestacks that you see, that you think maybe that's steam coming out of there, but there's a little bit of other stuff coming out too.
You know,
there's a lot of carbon dioxide coming out of those, and the thing is that these power plants are emitting quite a bit of carbon dioxide that they have to. It's just they're a byproduct of this, of what they do. The team here at Georgia Tech is thinking that, if there's a way to pack the smokestacks with this material, or if there's a way to create removable discs that they can cap these smokestacks with, these enormous smokestacks, they can make giant discs that can be removed and replaced. And that's one of the things that, is kind of interesting about this, is that, it's built for this large scale. And they said that, not only is it, that it actually works. It really does work. It captures the CO2, but it can be recycled.
Ah, yes. The students and the lab researchers there found that they could reuse the HAS material. I don't want to call it HAS. They could reuse this in one test. In fact, they tested a batch 12 times and found that there was no noticeable decrease in its absorption abilities.
So it captures. They take it off. They use it in some way. And you know what? There's an interesting way they reuse it. Now, you think, what do you do with all this captured CO2, right? Well, the interesting thing about this is that there's In fact, there's a place in Louisiana that they've actually taken it to that creates or that grows algae rather as a biofuel, and they feed the algae this captured CO2. So there's a great reason to do this. I mean, you know, you can filter out the CO2 from large places like, you know, factories or even small sources like cars, but then you've got to be able to do something with that captured CO2, and they found a great way to reuse that CO2. I mean, it's a very good source, a good place to go with that, I should say. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you'd have a new disc or a regenerated disc that you put back in its place and then capture some more, you know, CO2. This is it's a win-win, really, Ben.
Yeah, it's a win-win if it works. That's the problem.
And you know, we said that they're working on factory applications at this time. And that's right. Kind of the main goal of this thing. As far as tailpipes for cars, it's possible, not probable at this time. But
yeah.
But what an idea. I mean, you know, something like this, if this were to come along, I think that this would catch on. I think that, you know, it's something that could be implemented relatively easily.
Mm-hmm. And
I think it would work.
I think it would work. I'd really like to see it. You know, I'm very fascinated by all of these new innovations that come out, and some truly never make it past the drawing board. Mm-hmm. This one is in a practical application. It's on the way.
Yeah, least. I think it's got legs.
Mm-hmm. It's got legs. I love that phrase. So we're going to go ahead and wrap it up today, I think. Again, we have an episode on emissions and on catalytic converters. If you'd like to hear more about that, we would like to hear from you. We'd like to hear from you on Facebook, on Twitter. You can even send us an email at
carstuff@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com.